hello. Welcome to Healthy Perspectives, a podcast that takes on current cultural and social issues through a clinical lens. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, we appreciate your time. For those of you who have liked us on all the different platforms, subscribed, all that kind of stuff, we very much appreciate that. So thank you for doing that. Today, I'm asking the question, is justice served? In today's world, we talk a fair bit about wrongful convictions or wrongful persecutions, confusing judicial decisions. Rightfully so. I mean, here, let me just give me a small glimpse. Think Robert Hur not going after Biden because why? He's unfit for a trial. Okay. How about Dobbs v. Jackson, which most of you call Roe v. Wade. It's really not. It's Dobbs v. Jackson. But what about that? What about Donald Trump? What about O.J. Simpson? This is all really fresh stuff going on in our judicial system. And it's being highly publicized. Like all these media outlets are getting after it, which you're going to see today the problem with that. The media distorts things. They demand, it's almost like ogres and torches. The media is going after these ogres. And sometimes they influence decisions. Matter of fact, oftentimes they can. And I'll prove it. I'm bringing you receipts today, folks. Why? Because today, as a counselor, I get people talking about legal stuff all the time. I'm not a lawyer. That's not my role. I have to see the human aspects of the legal challenges, the things that happen legally that cause problems, not solutions. And so today, that's what I want to do. I want to take a look at some legal things that have caused more problems than solutions. All right. So let's go back. I'm going to give you, I told you receipts. Receipts are coming. Supreme Court decisions. I'm going to give you three Supreme Court decisions. This would be like the law of the land in the United States. Supreme Court decisions that were noticeably after the fact, not in the midst, but after the fact, by the vast majority of people, noticeably bad decisions. Why? Because they dismissed humanity. And I'll get into that again a little bit later. All right, start with Dred Scott versus Sanford. This is in 1857. You're like, oh, this is so outdated. Well, is it really? Because it wasn't overturned for a very long time. What it asserted was black people can't be citizens. And this contradicted completely the 14th Amendment, which is all about citizenship. If you're born here, you can be a citizen here. It contradicted that. And yet the Supreme Court made it the law of the land for a period of time. That's kind of messed up. And even back then in 1857, seems like, wow, how could you create a law that overrides essentially the 14th Amendment? But they did. They got it wrong, folks. Okay. Plessy versus Ferguson, 1896. Mm-hmm. You're like, old stuff. Uh-huh. Absolutely. But what did I tell you? We just had a recent version of these things happen. Dobbs v. Jackson. It's a recent version similar to these cases where there was some noticeable problem with the stance that was taken by the Supreme Court, and they rightfully overturned Plessy versus Ferguson, but it took them a long time, like a really long time. Here, 1896 is when it happened. Separate but equal. That was all about segregation, folks. Oh, you know, the black people can have a school over here. The Asian people can have a school over here. The white people can have a school over here. The Hispanics can have a school over here. And as long as they look the same, We're all good. Now, today, it's 2024. You and I know that that is super messed up. And yet, that was the law of the land until 1954. Holy smokes. 60 years of living in a legally biased and unhealthy manner. What the heck? Okay, we'll go a little more current. Obviously, I was going in timeline here. Buck v. Bell. Now, most of you probably don't even know this case. 1927. This is going to blow your mind, folks. Like, I'm serious. If you're driving, be careful. Because this is like mind-blowing coming up right here. It made it legal to sterilize those with intellectual disabilities. What? So that they couldn't have children. And they did it because they said it was in protection of the state. Oh my word. Not only that, but it was an 8-1 decision by the Supreme Court. An 8-1. Like, people today talk about the abortion stuff and they say, well, my body, my rights. Holy crud. Why are people not irritated by that decision then? Yet most of y'all probably don't even know about it. I did a little research on this one because it was really fascinating. There was one justice. It was an associate justice, Pierce Butler, that was the one that dissented. The one. That's incredible. How many of you have heard about Associate Justice Pierce Butler? I am betting less than 1% of anybody who would listen to this podcast has ever heard of Pierce Butler in the past. 1%, I'm betting. And I bet I would not be wrong. Might even be less than that. Just for background, he was nominated by one of the most popular presidents in the history of the United States, Warren Harding. Which is also, that's kind of funny that in terms of popular vote, not super well known. And I know some of you are going to be like, well, was Warren Harding a Democrat or Republican? He was registered as a Republican. Do what you want with that information. I don't think it tells the story wholly, but it is information. All right. How about stories of wrongful conviction? Yeah, let's switch gears. Get off the Supreme Court for a minute. I'm giving you evidence today, folks, that we might want to think really hard if we're going to rely on the justice system to create the best outcomes. Because I just gave you three examples where the Supreme Court, the what is supposed to be the best judges in the land, made massive mistakes. Not little mistakes. Not like, oh, well, you know, they got fined $25 and, you know, they probably shouldn't have. Maybe we should reimburse them $25. We're talking about massive decisions that shaped the country in sometimes the wrong way. I'm glad we learned and we overturned some of these things, to be honest. All right, some stories for you. All right, there was the story of Henry and Leon McCollum. Now, most of you may not remember this. This is like in the 1980s. I remember parts of this. I was super young at the time. But there was a 19-year-old kid and a 15-year-old kid. They were brothers. And they were accused of killing somebody, of murder. They spent 31 years behind bars and then were exonerated in 2014. Why do we not hear about these things? The truth is, these stories are probably far more important than a lot of the rhetoric you listened to on a daily basis today. How does the court get these things right and wrong? How do people get persecuted, prosecuted, and it be completely unjust? How does that happen? And yet it does. I'll tell you how it happens. Let me give you a little note here. Because human beings run the courts and human beings are flawed. We all make mistakes. And given just the right or just the wrong circumstances, we can make a mistake in anything. We could also accidentally get something right. Now, the good thing is the amount of times we get it right versus the amount of time we get it wrong, if you just plot it all out, I mean, we do get it right more often than not, which is great. That means the system is semi-functional. But 31 years in prison, two teenage boys, 31 years in prison. That means Henry at 19, 31 years, fast forward 31 years. What do you got? You got yourself a 50-year-old man coming out of prison. What in the world? Duke University La Crosse team, 2006. This is more current for you. I'm keep giving you more current stuff. They were accused, the lacrosse team, some of the lacrosse team was accused of assault and rape. The media persecuted them immediately. This was during a time period where, just in general, do what you want with this information. You can go back and look this up. There was this really strong movement to for women's rights, which is good. Like, I'm all for that. But the media got a hold of this and ran with information, oftentimes false information, not because the media wanted to get it wrong. They wanted to support the girl, which was great. I'm all for supporting men, women, boys, girls, old, young, whatever. I'm a clinician for crying out loud. But I'm not willing to do that and give up the truth. The truth is far more important. But the media didn't care about that nearly as much. There was actually no evidence really of a crime. Go look at the story. The charges eventually got dropped, and the media then decided to say, well, let's spin this so that we weren't wrong. And they said, well, it's because they were rich. They came from places with people who had money and power. And, you know, they were able to buy the best attorneys, which all of these things weren't necessarily wrong. But then they said, so because of that, they got away with it. Oh, the rich people won. Turns out there wasn't a crime. Go look it up. And some of you are going to even debate that today. Here we are almost 20 years later. But there was no evidence of a crime. That's why it got dropped. And not because they were rich, wealthy people, although that helped them discover the reality that there was no evidence of a crime. Well, and then the young lady's own words eventually. How about in 2003, you have Kimberly Long. Comes home, finds her boyfriend bludgeoned to death. Now, if that isn't traumatic, I don't know what is. Because that, I mean, that would be a lot to take in a moment. She immediately calls 911. Not like 10 minutes later, like right away. Calls 911. Goes to jail for 10 years. Because they said, well, somebody saw her at the scene of the crime. Yes, she showed up to her place where her boyfriend was, and voila, she was at the scene of the crime. Turns out the person who reported that they saw her at the scene of the crime had no reason to say that, but said it anyway. They were like, oh, I'm just going to say it. She was put in jail for 10 years because of some testimony that wasn't even good testimony. And then she was released later on because of evidence that proved she was not the murderer. Well, we have all kinds of forensics today that we didn't have back then. Even in 2003, the science has come a long way, which is good. So now that you have some evidence as to how we in the judicial system can get things wrong, let's rewind. And I'm going to say some words for you again. OJ. Many people today think that OJ Simpson got away with murder. And maybe he did. There was a lot of evidence that he did potentially get away with murder. But the jury didn't convict. And in this country, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. And that jury knows what they saw. They know what they heard. And yes, maybe they bought into something that was, awful because, like maybe they said they were at the time, OJ was a really popular figure. Maybe they're like, oh, we can't convict this really popular guy. Maybe that was the as simple as it gets. A lot of people in our country are in awe of famous people. And it can cause a lot of problems, folks. Let's take a look at this. How about Trump? A lot of people are wanting to persecute Trump purely out of hatred, not because of evidence. Right or wrong, I'm speaking the truth as best I can tell. The evidence is really, really, I'm again not an attorney here. I'm a clinician. I look at the human side of this, but the evidence looks weak. Now, I'm not telling you how to vote, who to vote for. That's your deal. But the evidence looks weak. So if they prosecute him and they charge him 400 and something million, what do you think it's going to look like 20 years from now? See, some people out there think that the courts are supposed to do whatever they need in order to create the outcome that we want. It's part of the flaw in the judicial system. But it's not about whatever we want. It's about truth and not truth. And the juries, the judges are supposed to be measuring the truth against the law. The truth against the law, not the truth against social media, not the truth against the media, not the truth against, it's supposed to be the truth against the law. They bounce the truth off the law and they say, does it fit? That simple. Robert Hur decided that Biden was unfit to stand trial for his illegal offenses. Potentially could be convicted. But we won't ever see that. Did the law get it right? I could easily argue they did. They probably did. His cognitive decline is pretty significant. Putting somebody that is declining as rapidly as he is on a stand, like in the court system, just in general, is not the best use of the court's time, most likely. So it raises an interesting dilemma, though. Because here, think about this. If he becomes the president again, after the election, so he's reelected. If he is fit to serve, then maybe the courts ought to go back and say, if he's fit to serve as the president, he's fit to stand trial on these offenses. That's not a bad idea, right? But will it happen? I don't know. But the legal system does get things wrong sometimes. How about Dobbs v. Jackson? That's a current event. It overturned Roe v. Wade. I mean, really, what it did was reset, saying the states have the authority to decide. It made it not a national, like, country issue. It made it a state issue again. Should that power have ever been taken from the states? Read the Constitution. That was a bad decision. Whether you agree with it or not is a different story. But according to the truth and the law of the land, it should never have been taken away from the states. But it was. And now it's back to the states. That's a reset. The courts get things wrong sometimes. So how do we balance this whole thing? The answer is right in front of us. We just have to pay attention. When we look at our culture here in the United States, because this is a clinical podcast, I have to look at culture, social issues, psychological issues. Obviously, the psychological impacts to Kimberly Long, massive, 10 years in prison after finding her boyfriend bludgeoned to death. There's no way her psychological state was, oh, happy hunky dory, yay. Oh my gosh. Add trauma to trauma. Look, we got to do better than that, of course. But the answer is right in front of us. It's a balance of powers. We can't become overly dependent on one facet to do our will. Article 1 in the Constitution, the legislative branch. Article 2 is the executive branch. Article 3 is the judicial branch. All very different roles and responsibilities. The people who wrote the Constitution got that part right. Because what they're saying, here's the takeaways for you, is we make mistakes. The law won't get it right every time. We make mistakes. Number two, it's saying be skeptical. Don't just take it as you see it or as they want you to see it. Demagoguery, right? And then the third thing it tells you, love supersedes the law. You're like, whoa, that's a big jump, Jeremiah. I'll prove it. In the Declaration of Independence, it says the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, folks. Inalienable rights. They were telling you love supersedes the law. It supersedes the legislation. It supersedes the executive branch. The real law of the land is love. That there are natural human rights And they all stem from a place of love and care. Love and care for difference, for humanity. And that's why this is a psychological aspect. Start from that premise, and the laws become more clear. If you are filled with hate for Biden, you're not correct. If you are filled with hate for Trump, you are not correct. If you are filled with hate for abortion or anti-abortion, you're not correct. I don't mind that you don't like these things, these people. But to hate is a totally different level, folks. I hope this was helpful. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, we appreciate your time. Please like, subscribe, do all those things. Share with friends. Get this out there so people can learn and grow and become better. Understanding, again, I am not an attorney, a lawyer, anything like that. I am just a man trying to help people on their journeys. I am a helper and a healer as a clinician. Thank you again for joining us, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. We appreciate our audience a lot, so we give you some simple ways to track us down. Please like, subscribe, and follow all the podcasts on different platforms, but you can also email us at healthyperspectives@protonmail.com, or you can check out our website at healthy-perspectives.com/podcast. It's a backward slash. So if you want to go to our landing page, if you go to healthy-perspectives.com, you'll still find us. You just got to click on the podcast button. Thank you so much.